I still give in, even though I know it's wrong. Know it's wrong. I guess I'm dumb, but I don't care. And breaking off wasn't hard to do, but I couldn't stay away from you. I feel love, but not the way I did before.
Yes, I'm done.
This time, girl, gotta be forevermore, evermore. I guess I'm done, but I don't
another day, and I think I'll die before it ends. It's just another day, and I'd sure like to go see my baby again. Time was when I did not know what they meant when they said a man was blue. But now I know because of you. What I know because of you. Sweet darling, I'm just wishing I could be with you again. Right now, right now. Sweet darling, I'm just wishing I could be with you again. Somehow, somehow, sweet darling, I'm just wishing now. Just another day, there ain't nothing going down. Nothing going down, I already know, 'cause I already called around. That a day went wrong, but now I know it's been too long. Since I knew it had been too long, sweet darling, I'm just wishing I could be with you again. Right now, right now, sweet darling, I'm just wishing I. Somehow, somehow, sweet darling, I'm just wishing now. I'm a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another overload. I hear you singing in the wire, I can hear you through the whine, and the Wichita lineman is still on the line. I know I need a small vacation, but it don't look like rain. And if it snows, that stretch down south won't ever stand the strain. And I need you more than want you, and I want you for all time. And the Wichita lineman is still on the line. And I need you more than want you, and I want you for all time. And the Wichita lineman is still on the
Hello there.
Hey. Welcome.
No.
Smelcome.
Smelcome to the show. This is Unspoken Request.
Unspoken Requests.
Unspoken Requests. I've done that every time. Every time Jared and I talk about the show.
Well, it's the first show.
I keep doing it wrong. Yeah, I'm going to have to do a mantra where I just say the name of the show over and over again.
The name of the show is Unspoken Requests. This is the first episode. Thanks for joining us. My name is Jared Cheek, and this is...
I'm Mike Adams.
That is Mike Adams. That thing.
This is a new venture for us. Radio show. That's what it is.
And it starts now, and it's going to go on for the rest of our lives, every 2 weeks.
That's right.
So thanks for joining us for our inaugural show.
And we've got big plans. We've got
big time. We've got Daddy.
We didn't get any of it together for today, of course, the first show.
Well, we got to spread things out for our entire lives.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, that's not true. We do have something put together for later today, the second half of the show.
We do. It's on its way from Ohio right now,
mm-hmm.
or from Pennsylvania.
We'll spill the beans on that a little bit later.
Yeah.
For now. We can tell you a lot of things. We can tell you that we just played a block of Glen Campbell tunes in memory of the legendary Glen Campbell, who passed away just a few weeks ago.
81 years old.
Jared, I'm sure you did, but did you see the Glen Campbell documentary about his final tour?
I never actually watched it.
Isn't that
crazy?
Yeah, it is crazy.
I started to a couple times and... I figured I'd get around to it.
Do you remember the name of it? I can't remember the name.
I'll Be Me.
I'll Be Me?
Yeah.
God, it's good. We watched it one night here at home, and it was a tearjerker. You learn a lot about Glen Campbell. about his life and about like the amazing stuff he was a part of and accomplished. And then you just see him and his family as he, you know, deals with the declining health through Alzheimer's disease. Crazy thing. But he did so much. I mean, hit record after hit record. He played in the Wrecking Crew. Have you seen the Wrecking Crew documentary?
Have not seen it.
Jared.
I know. I'm way behind on my rock docs. I saw Glenn Campbell in person.
You did.
6 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember you telling me about that.
2011.
Where was it?
With Jimmy Webb.
Oh, with Jimmy Webb.
Jimmy Webb opened. Glenn Campbell headlined, I guess. In Carmel, Indiana.
Wow.
Yeah. It was the week before his Alzheimer's diagnosis was made public.
Oh, I do remember you talking about this, because you were saying how it was like he seemed good, but it seemed weird.
Yeah, like he was, I thought, I feel bad about it now, but I thought he was drinking too much alcohol that night, forgetting things. Turns out, I was wrong.
Yeah, you were wrong big time.
Anyway, it was still a great show.
Yeah, I mean, I never saw him live, that's for sure. I wish I could. But he's got so many great tunes.
Speaking of tunes, we're going to play lots of great tunes on this new radio show called Unspoken Requests.
That's right, Unspoken Requests.
That's right. Why do we call it that, Mike?
Oh, should we talk about the name of the show?
Sure, might be confusing.
Yeah, Unspoken Requests. We went through many names. The runner-up, the best runner-up for the show was, since we're on late in the evening.
Yeah.
Or early in the morning.
After midnight.
Depending on how your day goes. We're either late in the evening or early in the morning. So we thought we'd do like a morning type show, you know, a morning zoo type thing.
Oh, stop you guys. You guys are bad. Stuff like that.
Yeah, we'd get some sound effects and do all that.
Yeah.
And we could call it Jared in the morning at night with Mike, which I still really like a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have to have a switch.
Yeah.
Back to that. Or do a theme episode where we do a morning zoo themed episode.
At night.
At night. And we call it that for just one time.
Yeah, we could.
But that'll be down the road after we learn what we're doing otherwise.
So what we're going to do on the show is
Don't interrupt me. You're getting away from the name. We didn't talk about the name.
Yeah, you're right. I mean,
okay.
Go ahead.
So for those of you who didn't grow up in Pentecostal adjacent religions, like Jared and I did, you might never have heard that term before, unspoken requests. Can I see a show of hands for those who have heard of unspoken requests before? Okay, I see those hands. Now, there's another joke. If you get those jokes, you're going to fit in very well here. If not, Jared is going to explain to you right now what an unspoken request is.
Well, it's just if you have something heavy on your heart, but you don't want to say it out loud to the whole congregation. Just raise your hand saying you have an unspoken request. And maybe you have an unspoken request right now in the form of a song request, but you're too shy to call us up and tell us. Well, we know what you want to hear. We have it all laid out, and we're going to play these songs for you for the rest of our lives every 2 weeks here on Unspoken Requests. We're happy you're here.
So when, Jared, at your church growing up, which was what kind of church?
Assemblies of God.
Assemblies of God.
Pentecostal.
When would they call for unspoken requests?
Oh, after the singing. After the praise and worship singing.
At my Southern Baptist church, we'd do it right in the middle of the congregational singing.
Oh, okay.
It'd be like a few songs, and then there'd be... it became this sort of... right before we said a prayer, maybe before the offering, you know? Mm-hmm. But it became this thing of like, does anyone have an unspoken request? And then all these hands go up, and it's like, okay, moving on.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's like, yeah, of course, everyone does.
Yeah.
Everyone's got things that are too embarrassing to say.
It's like getting a quorum to move forward in the meeting. So, yep.
That's right.
Yeah.
All those in favor? Aye. So anyway, if you don't know, that's what an unspoken request is. It's typically a prayer request that you're too ashamed and embarrassed,
yeah,
or you don't want to waste the time of the churchgoers by actually verbalizing your prayer request. And we want that to be the case with music on this show. We don't want you to bother us with requests of songs that you want to hear.
But we'll also play the songs you're too embarrassed to request.
That's right. We're going to play all your guilty pleasures. And we also want you to feel a part of this. So you can let us know. That would be a great thing to do, actually. If you want to go on Twitter right now and go, which handle do you want for you, Jared? Jared has a Twitter handle.
I'm on Twitter. My name is Real Jared Cheek. RealJaredCheek.
Okay, so you can tweet at Real Jared Cheek or at MIC. What is my Twitter handle? MICDADAM. McDadam. Tweet at us right now, just if you have a request, but don't tell us what it is. Let's keep it an unspoken request. So just let us know. Tweet at us right now, I have a request, or some form of that, and we will take that into consideration. But don't tell us the name of the request, and we'll keep that in consideration as we move forward with the show. And we'll try to play what you are wanting, but there are no promises being made. You know, if you have enough faith, we'll play the songs that you want to hear. But that's another episode.
Mike, it's summertime.
It is summertime.
How's your summer been?
It's been good. I've been working a lot. I'm a parent, so I've been, you know, kids don't have school in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing a lot of kids stuff all summer long. What about you?
No kids.
What have you been doing all summer?
Oh, whatever I want.
Dang.
I don't have kids, man.
That must be nice.
Yeah, it's cool. Hey, speaking of summer.
Yeah.
Maybe we should play a song about summer.
You got some summer songs?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll play some summer music for you, and then we'll be back in just a little while to talk some more.
Here's Happy Summer Days by Ronnie Dove.
The morning sun promises another wonderful day, and good fortune is all along the way. When your heart is filled with gladness, 'cause true love has come to stay. These are happy, happy, happy summer days.
Summer days.
Every kiss will take us to a new world we'll explore, bringing thrills that we never knew before. When the one you love can show you what's behind that magic door,
these are happy, happy, happy summer days.
Summer days.
These are happy, happy, happy summer days.
Around you, there's a rainbow in that watermelon sky.
All right, that was Chris Stamey with The Summer Sun. Before that, we heard Days of Happiness by Delta Haymax. And right before that, to start off that summertime rock block, was Happy Summer Days by Ronnie Dove.
So, speaking of the end of summer, Jared and I live in Bloomington, Indiana, if you didn't know that. That's where we are recording this show right now. There was a soft opening recently. Not a soft opening. They're open. But they did it. They did a smart thing, if they could afford it, and opened a new restaurant downtown in the summertime, which seems risky to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's slow. But there's a new Mexican restaurant downtown.
Wait, New Mexican?
It's strictly New Mexican cuisine.
Like the food from the state.
The food from Las Cruces and Albuquerque.
Okay.
I could be wrong about this.
Maybe you misheard things, and maybe it's actually a new restaurant that serves Mexican cuisine. So it's a new Mexican restaurant, not a new Mexican restaurant.
I see. That would explain why the food was so familiar to me.
Because you're more familiar with Mexican
than
food.
Than New Mexican food. One time I've been to New Mexico, I ate at a Mexican restaurant.
That's funny, because I had the same experience.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What a small world.
It may have been because I was with you, but you never know.
I'd like to take that back and say I've done that twice.
Oh.
I was thinking of a time that I was not with you.
Oh.
I forgot that I had been to New Mexico with you and had dinner there.
My only time in New Mexico, and it was with you.
Oh, well.
That was a nice dinner. I enjoyed that restaurant a lot.
Yeah. Should we say the name, or is that free advertising?
I think we're far. I don't know the name of it, so.
Oh, I do. It's El Rey Azteca, and it's on East 3rd Street.
Oh, you mean the one here in Bloomington, not in New Mexico.
Like I said, I've forgotten all about that. But Jared and I were at El Rey Azteca the other night, and a couple things happened. One, they were so friendly to us there. They came and offered us samples of horchata, which is so good, and agua fresca that they make in-house, which is some kind of fresh water. I don't know what it means, what the idea is, but I know that that's some kind of like fresh water. So it was not salty, I can tell you that. But anyway, they brought us some samples. And when they brought the samples to us, there was horchata, which we were all relatively familiar with. We tried that. It was great. Then he goes, the waiter, who was so kind, he said, this is agua jamaica. And we were like, what exotic fruit is jamaica? It looked, can you describe, Jared, the look of the agua jamaica?
Looked like a little, those little communion cups of grape juice.
Yeah, it was fruity looking.
Yeah.
It was like reddish, like a deep red. Not like, quite wine
like
colored,
if you take 100% Welch's grape juice mixed with a berry blend Fruitopia, that's the color.
Okay. Yeah. So the agua jamaica, we all tried it, and it was good. And then someone in our party said, what's jamaica? Like, we want to know. What is this? You know, I thought it was like, what's the there's like star fruit, and there's another one that's a bubble tea, like the Chinese fruit bubble tea. What's the one I'm thinking of?
Star fruit?
No, there's another one.
So he said?
Yeah, but there's another one that I can't think of the name of.
Passion fruit?
No, it's something unfamiliar to me.
I don't know, Mike.
Yeah, I thought maybe you would know. Anyway.
You know, my dad was a produce manager growing up.
Can we give him a call?
So we could get him on the line.
Maybe next time.
Maybe next time.
So we've got this jamaica. Someone's asked, what is it? And the guy is kind of like, you know, and we're expecting him to describe some otherworldly. Oh, we also learned through this conversation that the owners and the people that work there are from Brazil. So we were expecting to hear about this South American exotic fruit, some kind of foreign fruit to us with big seeds in it that you got to wring out like a shop towel, you know? And we're like, to get this sweet nectar, you know?
Yeah.
And, so we're like, what is jamaica? And he says, you know, like Bob Marley. Bob Marley, jamaica. And we're like, what? And one of our friends goes, yarmulke? Which was way wrong.
Boy, are we dumb.
And then he's like, no. Like where Bob Marley is from. Jamaica.
Jamaica.
And then it dawned on us. He's saying Jamaica.
Jamaica's not the name of a fruit.
No, I know, but I thought he was just saying, this is what we call this. Like it's just named this.
Oh, gotcha. All right.
I assumed
I think we should move on from this. The point is, we were there.
Yeah, okay.
And then what happened?
Yeah, this isn't even the story I'm trying to tell. There's not much of a story other than we have something to show you. And that is, while we were there, there was a song playing on the radio that Jared and I had never heard before. And we both kind of at the same time looked at each other.
Which is odd because we had thought we'd heard every song.
We thought we had heard it
all. No demand.
This song is playing on the radio. Jared turns to me, or I turn to him, and it's like, hey, this is pretty good. And then we're both like, but it kind of sounds like What a Fool Believes.
Which is also good.
Also good. So anyway, that all goes, I have Siri listen to it and tell us what it is, and then we forget all about it. Then I looked it up later, and we brought it here today, and now we want you to tell us what you think of it. And we're going to play it for you right now. Here's another thing that I don't know how to pronounce, and that is the name of this song. Rita Lee is the performer. From what I understand, she was in Os Mutantes at one time. Here is her song. I don't know how to pronounce it, so I'm not even going to try. There is a character in this name that I am unfamiliar with, so I don't even know what sound it makes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to bring it to you now.
Leave this as an unspoken request.
This is an unspoken request from El Rey Azteca. Here we go.
Not enough. conocido por el poder de Grascón. Con secretos poderes desde gran castillo y van a luchar hasta el final.
Se déchirent les ombres. La rue où le ciel n'entre pas. Passe un carrosse d'or et puis s'en va. Soudain, les yeux brillent aux fenêtres. Des gosses au visage d'ancêtre, des chiots que l'on n'allait pas. Passe un carrosse d'or et puis s'en va. Des pieds nus qui s'écorchent aux pierres sur le chemin noir. Âme nue qui se tend en prière vers l'absurde espoir. Où es-tu, ô beau carrosse d'or? Reviens-nous, fais-nous rêver encore. Allez, nos trésors. Et sa plainte, de rien, les voix se sont éteintes. Les gosses qui ne comprennent pas. Passe un carrosse d'or et puis s'en va. Les vieux ont détourné leur tête devant l'éternelle défaite. Heureux ceux qui ne savent pas. Passe un carrosse d'or et puis s'en va. Voilà, bien nu, on saignait le long du chemin noir. Mille fois leurs mains ont imploré vers un absurde espoir. D'où viens-tu,
Cambieranno le mie cellule, il mio corpo nuova vita avrà. Le molecole che ho guasto è colpa dell'ereditarietà. Sarò una cellula fra motori, come una cellula vivo.
Viaggeremo più veloci della luce intorno al sole. Come macchine del tempo contro il tempo che non vuole. Sarò una cellula fra motori, come una cellula vivrò.
Welcome back to Unspoken Requests. That was Una Cellula by Franco Battiato. Before that, we heard...
Oh, before that was Adamo with... You know, he's... I'm going to get this wrong. He's like Belgian and sings in French, English, Spanish, and German, I think. And I don't know which of those languages... this song title is in. That's a problem with playing these amazing foreign tunes sometimes, is that I don't know how to pronounce them. But we'll put a list. We have a playlist that we're going to publish.
Maybe you could take one of those correspondence courses.
Well, I studied Spanish in... Well, okay, so the name of the record is Ademen sur la Lune.
Mm-hmm.
Ademen sur la Lune. Also the title track of the record, and it's great. Highly recommend that one. But we will publish a playlist so you can look, so you don't have to use our boneheaded fat tongues to try to understand what these songs are. You can look them up if you're into these numbers, these unspoken requests.
And as we mentioned before that, no, we haven't mentioned this, but before that, we heard the Spanish version of the main theme song to He-Man and the Masters of the Universe by Memo Aguirre. Was the singer on the Spanish verse of that.
Did you
tune.
Study a foreign language in school, Jared?
No. That's Spanish for no. I took 4 years of Latin in high school.
Uh-huh.
I had to retake Spanish in college because I retook it once because I did not pass the first time. Not good.
Oh, you only had one semester of requirement?
No, I had to take two. I had to take one of them over. I forget which one.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I am dumb.
Guess you're dumb.
Surprised you didn't know that.
So, as we mentioned earlier on in the show, we do have a special upcoming surprise for the second half of the show. It looks like if all the stars align, and it's looking good so far, scheduling wise, we're going to have a special guest on the show for an interview, and that special guest is one Jason Henn of the popular rock band Honey Radar. He's going to be in the studio with us, hopefully, to talk about what's going on with his band, life in general, and all that kind of thing. Jared's working it out now. He's been on the phone with Jason all day
They're making a stop soon for a Royal Feast pizza at Pizza King.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I'm guessing maybe Richmond? I don't know where they're planning on getting this pizza.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be nice to have him here in the studio for the second half of Unspoken Requests.
Blank Cartoon is the new Honey Radar record. I really think you ought to check it out. Yes. If you're a Bloomington head, then you'll know Jason from playing drums for many years with Elephant Micah, who was a Bloomington guy for a very long time and has many great albums featuring Jason on drums. So there's a little connection back home for you.
He also runs the record label that reissued some classic Indiana records. There's the Hoi Polloi record on Folk Evaluation.
I didn't even know that.
Oh, well, yeah. We can talk about it.
I can't wait to learn that from him. And I'll look like a real dope then.
They've also released Twilight Nuages. I don't know if I've said that name right. Which is Connecticut. But plenty to talk to him about that record label, his band, his bands, all kinds of stuff like that. You know, we could play some of his music right now.
Do you want to go ahead with a Honey Radar song?
Yeah.
That sounds great. Let's do it. Here's Honey Radar with what song, Jared?
Milkmaid. Here on Unspoken Requests with Jared and Mike.
Thank you. Maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I could have. And maybe I didn't treat you quite as good as I should have. If I had made you feel second best, girl, I'm sorry I was blind. You were always on my mind. You were always on my mind. And maybe I didn't hold you all those lonely, lonely times. And I guess I never told you I'm so happy that you're mine. Little things I should have said and done, I just never took the time. You were always on my mind. You were always on my mind. Tell me, tell me that your sweet love hasn't died. Give me one more chance to keep you satisfied. Keep you satisfied. Should have said and done, I just never took the time. You were always on my mind. You were always on my mind. You were always on my mind.
Baby, these words are such a reality. immaculate. When I go to work, I lift heavy stuff, and it keeps me sharp. After work beers with the boys that I love. Maybe have a bet, maybe not. Wake up in the morning, I do it all again, again, again. Whoa, my life was so different when I knew you. Whoa, my life was so different when I knew you. Last I heard from you, you're on an island somewhere, on a jet ski. Where you going to next? Maybe just a supermarket, but I don't believe it. When you called me to the hotel room, it was such a scene. But I didn't have the guts to ask, what the hell? What the hell just happened here? Oh, my life was so different when I knew you. Life was so different when I knew you.
Welcome back to Unspoken Requests with Jared and Mike. That was Scott and Charlene's Wedding with Scrambled Eggs. Before that, we heard French Disco by the great Stereo Lab. Coming up next, we're going to play some more songs, and then we will be joined by Jason Hinn from Honey Radar. Next up, we're going to hear Hanging Around by Jack Nietzsche. And after that, what are we going to hear, Mike?
We're going to hear from a great, mysterious French band called Gloria. We're going to play their new single, Beam Me Up.
All right. But first, here's Hanging Around by Jack Nietzsche.
Falls in love with me.
All right, welcome back to Unspoken Requests with Jared and Mike. During the break, our special guest magically arrived here in the studio. Please welcome Jason Hinn.
All right. We can insert some thunderous applause here. Yeah, that'll be great.
I was expecting some.
I was going to say make a noise, but I can't welcome
myself. Yeah, you don't want to do that. That might be strange. Jason, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, Jason made it into in our little studio space right here in Bloomington. You're in town on tour, is that correct?
Right, we're just doing like a 5-day weekend.
Cool.
Yeah.
Where are those shows?
We played in Cleveland last night at the Happy Dog, which I've heard you played.
Yeah,
and
the place
is great.
And we saw,
while we were there, Amy O was still written on the sandwich board.
Oh, funny.
So she's been there recently.
They named a sandwich after her?
And then we drove through Dayton on the way here and played at their NPR station, WYSO.
Oh, cool.
This afternoon, which was really fun. And we're playing the Blockhouse tonight in Bloomington. We're going to the Empty Bottle tomorrow and then back through Dayton to play an in-store at Omega.
Oh, great. Cool. That sounds like a fun weekend.
Yeah.
Do you guys do a lot of weekend stuff?
Mostly. I have a desk job. And I have all right time off, so that's what I can do is long weekends at the moment.
Do you have any idea how much of that you're doing, like, in a year?
I think I've used all my vacation time for touring. I don't know.
Okay.
This year, I think I have 2 vacation days left until summer.
That's originally why the Beatles stopped.
They ran out of vacation days?
Yeah.
I don't necessarily want to get real heavy real fast, but since you mentioned your day job, I'm kind of curious. You and I have known each other for a little while and played some shows together, and we definitely have a lot of mutual friends and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I feel like we somewhat exist in a similar... I also have a day job and I'm touring whenever I can have vacation days. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of wondering about your sort of take on... What role does Honey Radar play for you as someone with a day job as well, and what's it look like for that to be sort of successful? Does that question make sense?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it takes up a lot of my brain space, even at work, you know? Like, I like do booking and stuff on my lunch break and things like that. So there's like... They kind of collide with each other sometimes. I don't know. Within the past year or so, we have had, some people at booking agencies get in touch and ask what's up, and I told them my situation. And it's something I think about. It's a problem I'm trying to solve, or like trying to understand how to continue to play shows, and I'm not sure. Is that...
No, totally. Is it the kind of thing where you said agents have contacted you and stuff like that?
Yeah, not anything too heavy. It's become a more of a possibility than it was before.
So I guess that's a good way of putting it. Possibilities. Like, does that feel, when someone contacts you like that, does it feel like that's a big carrot dangling in front of you? Or is it kind of for you like... Well, that's not possible. I got this job. It's like...
I didn't feel too bad about it. Other people's reactions made me feel kind of like...
Like you were doing it wrong? Feeling wrong?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's like if you were wanted to be a serious writer or something, and it was like you were this pretentious... Like you were writing novels, you know? And then like one of your friends had a blog, and they're like, yeah, this like, you know, I... This publisher got in touch and they saw my blog, and I don't know, I'm thinking like maybe I'll do, I don't know if I'm going to do, and the other, you know, like your friend would just be like fuming at you. Right.
I think that's a good allegory.
Right.
Yeah. You said you're in the midst of figuring it out, but how do you then, okay, something like that comes along. How do you then make plans for Honey Radar going forward? Like, do you try to disregard that stuff and just think about it artistically, maybe? Maybe that's not even the right word. Or is it more like you're trying to lean into that stuff as you plan what to do with the band?
I've just been continuing to book shows like normal, which I assume you're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm asking all these questions because these are the things that I struggle with myself. So, right. And I want to know what you're doing because I want to...
We talked about this at dinner last time we played together, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
I really don't know.
Yeah. No, I understand. like I said, I'm asking very selfishly a lot of this stuff.
I don't know how entertaining this is going to be for anyone to...
Oh, if it's if they're like me, they're going to be glued to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen to like Marin or like listen to comedians talk and think about running an indie rock band? Like, do you hear any, get any lessons from people who are working in other areas creatively?
I get
how they direct their careers.
Comedy in Bloomington is doing really well right now. And it's tough when the guy at the comedy club says, why are you guys playing for $100 a night or whatever when I've got these comedians who are just coming up getting a grand?
Don't have to carry amps inside?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because the structure is so totally different for a comedy show versus, you know, a rock show. And I wonder about that myself. Like, I look at that and think, not even the big guys, because like I said, we're so close to this, like, up-and-coming scene here, comedically, that it just, it's so formal. And it makes me a little bit jealous of the formality, and that you can, because of the formality, people are expected to behave a certain way at the show, and pay a certain amount to get into the show. Mm-hmm. And I like that, but then when I think about it too hard, it's like, but I don't know if I actually want that, because the whole thing about me being in this band or doing this rock and roll thing is because I want to escape boundaries to an extent.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
I kind of enjoy, like, I'm enjoying the place we're at lately, and I still like for things to be kind of... sloppy and and loose, you know, like the structure of every touring in the van and playing clubs and not making money necessarily. It's like I don't know.
Last time I saw you guys in Indianapolis, I was very impressed by how it seemed like everyone was up there because they were having a good time, and it felt really loose in that good way, like free.
Right.
And I was very impressed by that.
Yeah, this is sort of like this is the thing I do for fun. It would be a big decision to turn it into a business.
Yeah. Yeah, like a straight up business. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What were we talking about right
business,
before?
I mean like a very not brand.
Yeah.
Is the wrong word, but like a pizza shop.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I don't know.
Well, what kind of pizza shop would you run, Jason?
I'm just thinking,
since
like...
You're gonna cut this anyway.
If Funny Radar was a pizza shop, what would it be like?
I think it would be like the Pizza King in Cambridge City that probably shouldn't be open. You know? Like, not the nice Clara's in Richmond, but like the... You know? Yeah. And I think that when you say brand, when you talk about like developing a band into like a real... functioning business, that would be like a Pizza Hut, and we're not even thinking about Pizza Hut. We're kind of...
I've eaten at that Pizza King with my entire family.
That was family dinner.
We had a family reunion meeting at that Pizza King in Cambridge City.
Oh, man.
Maybe I should ask about your guys' relationship a little bit, if that's okay.
Sure.
And can you share the mic, too? Oh, Billy, if you have something to say, that'd be great. So, Billy Steins.
Hello.
And Jason Henn, Honey Radar. How do you guys, you're in cahoots a little bit. I don't want to spill the beans. I want to let you speak for yourselves. So how are you guys connected?
How long have you known each other?
Since 1994.
Whoa. Yeah. Like very beginning of 94, right?
Yeah. I was 13 and I was
won't say my age. I was seven.
I was a volunteer at the public radio station in Richmond, which was housed in the college that Billy was going to. So, we met through there, and there was like a little club in the basement with the radio station too. It was where like the DIY shows at the college happened. And I was starting to meet, you know, these cool college age people that seemed like 50-year-olds to me at the time, right?
You were 13?
Yeah. I don't know. I just got the idea to ask if I could do off-air work. And the manager, Luke, was like, you know, we looked it up and there's no, like, age requirement. My long-term goal was to, like, do off-air work until I was 18, I assumed you'd have, or 16, like a driver's license or something. And they're like, there's actually no age limit, so, or minimum, so, or I had a license that summer.
Wow.
To do shows, yeah.
And Billy, what were you doing over there?
You worked at the Racks in Richmond, right?
No, I used to hang out there a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, I was working at the radio station as a first year at the college, and I was from Richmond, same as Jason, but I went to the college and lived on campus, and I had an off-campus job, so I was sort of in a weird spot. I wasn't like a typical first-year student, and so I used to spend a lot, probably an unhealthy amount of time in the basement there at the radio station. So Jason would be there often with his friend Andy Stout. We can go into that and your musical journey there,
sure,
if you want to. But yeah, I was always down there, and Jason would come, and he was always hilarious. And he very quickly went from being like super into the oldie show and like the Monkees to, I mean, seriously, probably by that fall, he was like, hey, have you heard Kraftwerk? Or this is my favorite Fall record. And it was just totally beyond anything that, because, you know, 1994 was pretty much pre-internet, certainly pre-World Wide Web, that most people were available or had access to. And so Jason was just combing through the catalog that we had there at the station, just picking everything and open-minded about everything. Whereas, you know, in the mid-90s there, everybody was being catered to in college radio by sort of MTV Buzzbin stuff. But Jason's mind was totally wide open. And on top of being just kind of a hilarious kid who would do these funny promo things, I showed him how to use some parts of the production studio. Mm-hmm. And Jason would just show up with these promos for shows, or promos for the radio station that were pretty hilarious. And
it involved a lot of like wedding, like teenage humor, like wedding myself or something.
Yeah, no, there was. I could actually, I think I have it on mini disc somewhere. I could probably forward it to you.
If you could send it to us, we will play it right now.
Embarrassed by that,
I can't stop you.
We'll cut it. That's right. You can't legally stop me. But no, it was just.
So Billy,
let it speak for itself. Yeah.
Did you have the label going at that time, or did that come much later?
No, the label came, it started in 2004.
Oh, okay.
But it's something Jason and I had been talking about for quite a few years before then.
The first Third Uncle release was Elephant Micah 7-inch, yeah. Right?
So. Oh, yeah, great. We actually, when we were talking about earlier in the show that we were having you on, we mentioned that you played with Elephant Micah a little bit. Were you on that 7-inch, or was that?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Yeah, Jason pretty much enabled that. For years before that, Jason had been sort of releasing kind of DIY, CDR, and tape. Like, some tape releases were really limited. Like, there are a couple of copies of, and I have, like, one of some that there are, like, two copies of.
I used to record direct on, like, I would consign the master tape and then go back and get it if nobody bought it.
It's
Side One Records.
And wow.
Action, yeah.
Do you have most of that stuff still?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one bought anything.
Yeah, that's why, I mean, to jump forward a little bit, I was a little bit shocked when people started super getting into Honey Radar, because I don't have any critical distance in terms of what's good or not, because I like everything Jason's done since forever.
like he would hand me tapes. I remember one time he handed me, his band in high school is called Students, and he handed me the tape. Or maybe it was Andy who handed it to me. But anyway, he's been giving me tapes for years and years and years, and I've loved it all. But just assumed it was just kind of almost like a private thing. And when people started really getting into it, you know, we started doing very small edition, like lathe cut records, and, like some of them are like 10, 20 copies. Mm-hmm. And
which is like normal size run.
So for us.
Yeah.
Was there one in particular that started to get more attention? Do you notice?
I think when we put out the release, LP.
The LP, right.
Yeah. Okay. Which we actually pressed like, this is a big run for us. It was 250 copies.
Yeah.
that's probably when people started paying more attention after Dynamite Hemorrhage took notice, right?
Right. Like,
we had done a tape or, 7-inch in tape called Mary Plum Musket that got reviewed in a couple places. And then, yeah, I guess that the LP got reviewed in Dynamite Hemorrhage Zine, and it was record of the day on WFMU, which was shocking to us, I think. And then some labels and other people started getting in touch then, like fall of 2014, I guess.
Do you have any idea how those people initially got a hold of it? Were you like sending it to people, Billy, or
any
ideas? Yeah.
No. Jay, who does Dynamite Hemorrhage, just was cruising Bandcamp. I sent a copy to Doug Moserock, who does Still Single blog, and he showed it to Kevin at What's Your Rupture, which is how Blank Cartoon ended up on What's Your Rupture, is because they know each other. And there were a couple other threads like that, but they all just sort of happened, like a bunch of separate connections like that all happened simultaneously and had kind of a cumulative effect, I guess.
Yeah, all kind of lined up at once.
Well, it would be weird because you could tell conversations are having. It's not like there are loads of orders coming into the label. So when you get like 4 orders from Minnesota one day, you're just like, well, that's probably not a coincidence, right? Like, yeah. 4 people just ordered this record from. And didn't you say like somebody sent you a picture of a Honey Radar sticker that was like on a bike rack in Minnesota?
Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it was in Milwaukee. Okay. Yeah. But somewhere totally that we don't know anyone, that had to have come from just us sending the record and sending stickers. Because how else would it exist? You've never played a show there, right?
Right, no.
So,
aside from, you know, getting some random calls and emails and things,
mm-hmm.
have you noticed a change since that happened for like, either attendance at shows or you've sold more records, it sounds like? Has there been anything else that has signified in your mind that more people are listening, or
we just played the show last night in Cleveland, and I looked at the Facebook event just to check in on it, and the person who organized the show had pulled all these quotes and things. Like he was a big fan of the group, and is why he wanted us to play, right? I don't know, he had pulled reviews and stuff that I hadn't even seen, or it was just kind of. I will occasionally, like a handful of times a year, meet someone who is like really into it, and I, you know, in my day to day life, I have no idea that that's happening, so it's kind of surprising.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen a ton. I don't mean to suggest that it happens often, but like it, every once in a while, I'll meet someone because of the band, and it's surprising to me that there are people that I don't know who are interested in it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that has to be strange, going from, like you were saying before, such small quantities, and basically, like Billy, like you said, it feels like you're just sharing it privately with your friends, to then having people recognize, people that you don't know recognize what you're doing.
Right. We were doing like 20, 25 copies of stuff because we could only sell 15 copies.
Right. Yeah, so totally by coincidence, I'd come down earlier this week to Bloomington from Indianapolis to the Omni show.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. And I texted Jared, and he's like, he had something going on. But so I was like, well, it'll be a typical Tuesday night at the Bishop show. There'll be like 40 people there, but it was packed. And I didn't really know what was going on. Anyway, I walked in and was sort of standing by someone. I looked over, and it was Bill Rowe from Trouble in Mind, who I recognized just from his picture on Facebook, and I introduced myself to him, and he was like, "Oh," so we started talking. This does have a point. I was mentioning he started asking me about the Small Run Honey Radar stuff, and I said, "Yeah, we were doing like 20 copies of things, and we would have copies for literally a year." He like started shaking his head. He's like, "That's maddening as a collector, because apparently it's really, really difficult to find now."
Yeah, I met Byron Coley a couple weeks ago. He did a poetry reading in Philly.
Oh, cool!
And he was like politely complaining. I guess he's paid like $100 for one of them on Discogs.
Wow,
that's crazy!
Not to air anybody's Discogs.
yeah,
I maybe should have. And a FOIA request.
That's like more than the budget for entire releases.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone, there's stuff. I mean, I'll hang out with you for $100 if you want to. Like,
how much should they paying you for this appearance?
Yeah,
right.
I'll clean your house.
I think we're kind of running short on time.
Jason, what's your favorite Monkees song? What are your favorite Monkees songs?
The four Nesmith songs on Birds, the Bees, and the Monkees.
Okay.
I'll have to pick Righting Wrongs. It's like, you know, his Doors, Procol Harum, Organ Freak Out song, you know?
All right.
Is that a
That's great.
Good answer?
That's very good.
That's a great answer.
Can I ask you real quick, what is coming up for Honey Radar?
Sure. We're playing later this month with Dan Melchior, and Russ, who drums in the band, can't make it, so I think Mark Rice is going to be joining us.
Local legend.
Yeah. And he he's played on recordings with Honey Radar and stuff, and one of my good friends. And then we're playing in October. We just confirmed a show with X Blank X, which is... John Morton from the Electric Eels band, Craig Bell, who plays in Pere Ubu now, like Cleveland legend dude. So I'm really excited about that. Is it, okay, I mentioned that we're playing together?
Yeah.
A couple days before that on the 2nd, right?
Yes. October 2nd. It is October 2nd, yeah.
Kung Fu Necktie. Playing with a different group called Rabbit US, which is, me with, basically all of the band Telepathic. So
oh, great. We played a Telepathic song earlier in the show.
Great.
Yeah.
I love them, and it's Mark's in that group with our friends Rob and Sarah.
They were with you in Indy last time you were, and they were great.
Yeah.
And I got their newest tape at the time, and I loved it. It's so good.
Yeah.
I listen to it frequently.
How the heck does someone buy a Honey Radar record if they want to?
Our Bandcamp page is at honeyradar.com. I'm trying to think of what the most recent thing is. Billy and I recorded a tribute to Robert Quine that should be out on tape soon. We have a split 7-inch.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to mention it?
Do you know something about it? I don't know anything about it.
You are.
Yeah, actually, you are. I'm not.
Can I just talk about our
FCC regulations? But you can say anything as long as it's you're saying. You're the one saying it. We just can't be the one saying it. That's what the FCC says.
We can't self-promote.
Ah.
See, well, so if you bring it up, then we can confirm and deny.
That's fair,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
I have a 7-inch coming out with you. and I'm looking forward to that. It's co-released by... Flannel Graph and Third Uncle Records.
Yeah.
What's next on Third Uncle Records? How do you buy Third Uncle Records?
ThirdUncle.com. When does this air?
This will be in September sometime.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff coming up. A lot happening in September. There's that split Jason said. I'm going to be doing the new Telepathic record.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so that's... has been cut to lacquer and is out getting plated now. There are a couple of 7-inches, a band called Faults, originally from North Carolina, now in Brooklyn. A French band that I'm really excited about, and called Juju Jaguar. Whoa. I think that's how it's pronounced. There's a bunch of stuff, probably too much. The big project is Birds of Avalon. I'm doing their record, and we're currently hashing out artwork. So, yeah, there's probably too much happening right now, honestly, for one person to be running.
Real quick, can you guys mention the answering machine tape, the company's... Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so a few years ago, I found this answering machine tape. Our friend Will Ryerson taught me to always buy an answering machine tape if you see it in a thrift store, or go to the answering machines and see if there are tapes and steal them.
I never thought about that.
Yeah. So I did that for years and never found anything even remotely interesting until I found this tape. This couple, Maxine and Walter, and like, I don't even know how to describe it. This like kind of soap opera unfolds with all these really interesting characters over the course of like the 60-minute tape. And some of the voices ended up on our album Blank Cartoon. And we had this idea to just reissue the answering machine tape in its entirety. And I don't know if it's cool to say. Yeah. They've been going out in some orders from Third Uncle as like a surprise for people.
Oh,
and been getting copies.
Yeah, I brought a bunch with me.
Awesome. So,
well, dudes, thanks a lot for coming and talking to us today. I'm such a big fan of both. Yeah. I'm such a big fan of both you guys, and I'm happy to know you personally, and I'm glad this worked out.
Me too, thank you.
Head to honeyradar.com and thirduncle.com.
And we'll be back with more Unspoken Requests right after this.
After this.
You just heard Righting Wrongs by Michael Nesmith's The Monkees. And before that was Pan Music from Honey Radar. Michael Nesmith, of course, famous for having a mother who invented whiteout.
Liquid paper. I saw Michael Nesmith here in town like 5 years ago. I think I told you this before,
Mike. It's one of my favorite concert-going stories.
I was so excited. Mike Nesmith is coming to town. I counted down the days on my calendar with my Sharpie. And I was like, I'm going to go to the Buskirk Chumley Theater on opening, right when the tickets go on sale. Be first in line. I mean, I was the first in line. I was the only person in line. Right when they went on sale.
Did you have your sleeping bag and your like little sidewalk tent? You were camped out.
I had my cardboard cut out of Michael Nesmith propped up, and I would kiss him goodnight as I slept the night before on the sidewalk of Kirkwood. Anyways, and I was like, all right, I saved up. I'm going to buy these fancy $65 tickets for the best seats in the house. And they were front row center.
That is the best. I was like, see, everyone knows front row center.
Best. This is the best seat in this entire theater, front row center. I get there, I sit down, and I look up, and I realize I just bought the only bad seat in the entire place.
And why is that, Jared? Why is it
I'm
so
glad
bad?
You ask. Because Michael Nesmith had an iPad on his mic stand that he used to, I don't know.
Read the lyrics.
Yeah. For guidance.
Or surf the web when he got bored.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was seated perfectly so that when I look up, that entire iPad, I was so close, the entire iPad was covering his entire face.
For two hours.
Every once in a while, he'd walk around the stage a bit to, you know, say something to the bass man. But, yeah. That's my funny Mike Nesmith throw. It was still a great show.
What a lemon,
a good time,
you know?
But it was really, really funny now that it's in the past.
I do love that story.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in to Unspoken Requests number one.
We're number one already?
Yeah, we're at the top of the charts.
Okay, great.
We did it. We're at the top of the charts for the 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. time slot.
Maybe we should make our own charts for, like, the best song. Like Casey's,
oh, just what
like,
we think
like Casey's
is best.
Countdown. Like, who I decides that? Just Casey Kasem. We can decide the best songs of the week and chart them. We'll talk about this later in our meeting.
Great. Thanks a lot to Jason Henn and Billy Steins for stopping by and talking with us for a while. Yeah, we're going to leave you with some more music, and we hope you will come back in about 2 weeks. We'll have another show for you. In the meantime, here is Range of Light Wilderness with Under Your Spell.
mountain where we walk. You got to only go to the when we walk in the door. You've got eyes just like moonbeams. They just seem to glitter and spark. When we get dark in that thing like that, they stand out in the dark. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Only closer. Every day now. You got to give me good loving time. Each and every day now. Look, it's like thunder. Girl, it's really driving me mad. Your kisses puts me right under your spell. Your loving's driving me mad. Oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Hold me closer. You've got to hold me closer. You've got to hold me closer now. Said your love is like thunder, child. I said your love is like thunder. I said your love is like thunder. You got to hold me closer. Ooh. Just a little bit closer. Ow! Just a little bit closer. Ouch, ouch, not too close, baby.
Have I lost your love, or have I lost my mind? Am I seeing things, or am I going blind? Do I hear you cry?